Can you really see yourself voting against Labour in a Labour budget? Can you really see that?
Well, I don't see that. But the point is this. If they are not prepared to come up with what we want, then why should we give them our unqualified support?
So you would bring an Ed Miliband government down?
Well, if the terms are not right for us in the SDLP, we will not be lending our support to Ed Miliband.
Even if it means the government falling?
Well, it's not a matter of a government falling. It's a matter of a government forming. And that's the point that I would make.
In a minority Labour government, those votes could tip the balance. That's why I'm pushing this.
Yes, it could. And that's why we're in a very powerful position.
Some sister potentially. Party you are.
Well, I don't know. The British Labour...
Threatening your big sister.
this is a family discussion. And within families, you don't always get harmony and peace and so forth. And you have good constructive exchanges and arguments and so forth. Stephen, we're politicians.
Oh, no, I can hear that today.
We're not,
I can hear that. You're walking around with your basket under your arm.
We're not. That term is very ambiguous, Stephen.
You're dead right there. So you
very
come
ambiguous.
Up with it. You come up with it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe it was me. I can't remember.
You
now.
Did. Yeah, I right. think you did. But anyway.
Well, he did, didn't he?
No.
He came up with the
I
basket.
Think he did. I think he did.
Right. Let's talk about welfare reform, welfare cuts. The manifesto, it makes a great deal of... your opposition to Westminster welfare cuts, doesn't it? That's a big issue for the Stormont executive.
Yes.
So should it just stand its ground, refuse to introduce Westminster benefit changes, should it?
Well, again, we have to look at welfare and we'll be talking to the British Labour Party in relation to welfare. They're prepared to move on welfare and they've made that plain. How far they move, again, Stephen, that is the question. For example, the bedroom tax, they've said that they will abolish the bedroom tax.
Yeah.
That at least would be progress in relation to welfare. But we need...
That would be a small part of the overall reform.
Yes, but we would need...
Would that be enough for the SLP?
I don't think so. I think we need a bit more than that in relation to it. And of course, a lot of it depends on dealing with Stormont because a lot of the issues have in fact been devolved to Stormont and in the secondary legislation that's going forward in the Assembly.
So what more would you fight for?
So Labour in that sense would not really be in a position to influence all of that.
So in terms of welfare reform, what else would you insist upon beyond bedroom tax?
Well, we have constantly said that we want to mitigate the impact of welfare reform. We've talked and our amendments to the Assembly.
All the parties in some degree with that.
Well, we had...
Specifics.
We had, well, okay, the specifics are protections for young disabled people, protections for victims and survivors, those who've been victims of hate incidents, those with mental health. We wanted to also amend the bill so you could have free, confidential, independent advice and assistance on a statutory basis. And also, given the scale and the extent of the cuts, we said that there should be a vigorous Assembly inquiry into the effects of the reforms, so-called reforms, because they're not reforms and more cuts, and external oversight of welfare.
So if Westminster doesn't budge, you would break parity with the UK, with Great Britain?
Well, those issues that I've outlined don't necessarily break parity. They're more in terms of the administration of the system of welfare.
But if you want full fiscal independence, Alban, parity would be out the window.
Well, if it would be ultimately, but we're talking about years down the line.
That's
we're
your plan.
We're talking about the long term, and I think that is not something that people would not welcome.
Well, are you sure? I know somebody who might not welcome it. There are important
who mightn't welcome it.
Well, there are important administrative reasons for maintaining parity, said a certain person. Owing to the fact that there is, in effect, a single system for Social Security across Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Yes, and there is.
Just think for a moment of the huge teething problems that, for example, additional benefit costs of finding new computer infrastructures might cost. Therefore, I hope that the Assembly will appreciate the sound financial reasons for maintaining parity. Who said that?
Well, you tell me who said it. But
Margaret Ritchie.
Your former leader. Of course, yeah.
When she was the minister in charge, 2007, when she was in charge of welfare here.
Yeah.
Did she get it wrong?
In a situation where there wasn't the extensive cuts being made by a Tory government in relation to welfare.
Sound financial reasons, she said, for maintaining parity. Margaret Ritchie. Mm-hmm.
In the context of when there weren't those excessive cuts being made
In the context of funding new computer infrastructures in order to avoid that, maintain parity.
Well, I mean, that is a point. It's a point that's well made. Right. And a point that has been made by successive ministers here in Northern Ireland. Nelson McCausland made the same point, but did very little about it.
Let's move
on. In terms of trying to ease the situation in relation to the cuts.
So much in this manifesto for me to get through this morning. Don't you be filibustering me now.
Go ahead, Stephen. Sure, I couldn't filibuster with you.
Fight for the winter fuel payment to be increased to £500.
Yeah.
For all pensioners.
What would 500 give you?
No, hold on. What for would, all pensioners, no matter how rich they are.
Yeah. Well, what would 500 give you?
I don't know. A basket of something, presumably.
Well, you're talking in terms now of giving people at least 900 litres of oil. You're talking in terms of giving people some degree of comfort during the course of a severe cold winter.
No matter how rich they are?
This is You could attempt to tailor it, but I think I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Because the cost of doing that is exorbitant. It's disproportionate to the value that you're going to get. Rich people like you would be exempt, for example. But the point I make to you is this: that it doesn't really work out. Doesn't really work out
would
in
you
terms
encourage,
of the cost.
Would you encourage, would encourage rich pensioners not
I
to
I would
claim?
Encourage, if you were a rich pensioner, I'm sure you will be a rich pensioner, you're a rich young man at the moment, I would encourage you to give your particular winter payment to charity. As some people do, in fact. And I think provision should in fact be made.
Much would that cost us? That increase to 500 quid.
I'm not sure how much it would cost in overall terms, but it certainly is something I believe that people would welcome.
Arts funding is in here. It's all about arts funding. Where is it? It's all over the place.
Well, let me tell you about arts funding.
You would redirect more money into the arts, wouldn't you?
Yes.
How much?
Yes. Well, the point I would make to you is this, that we would reverse the cuts that have been made. Why would we reverse the cuts that have been made? Because it's only not 0.6%, not 0.6% goes into the arts here in Northern Ireland. And yet even that's being cut.
Not a middle-class subsidy, arts?
No, it's not middle-class. I mean, that's just a silly point to make. The arts covers everybody here in Northern
Ireland.
Really? If you don't have a rich artistic context here, how are you going to develop your society?
All the pressures that there are in the public purse.
Yeah.
And you would divert more money into what? Plays?
You're talking about, and why not, a few plays
orchestras
here or there. It might start people to think. It might start, what about music? Bit of music does no harm.
That's
it
all
educates
fine in a
people.
World
it elevates people's hearts and minds.
That's all fine in a
minds.
World where we don't have waiting lists in our hospitals.
It gives you a rich, and our
lights get off
rich,
in our streets.
Rich texture to your life. Well, I mean, if it's less than 1% of the overall Northern Ireland budget, I mean, why cut it? The cuts to the arts are disproportionate.
And how much would that cost us? How much do you want to pump back into the arts?
Well, the cuts at the moment are roughly in the region of 15%. I don't know the overall figure, but 15%, restore that cut or as near to that as possible.
You don't know the number, the millions.
I don't know the millions.
No. You
know,
what's that number matter? You don't know the number.
Well, I'll tell you the ballpark figure in terms of the percentage.
You've got the percentage of what?
Hold on.
How many millions?
The percentage cut is 15%. Yeah. That cut is the unkindest cut of all, if I might quote Shakespeare.
Cancer drugs.
Yes.
You would want more money put into cancer drugs, wouldn't you?
Yes, indeed, yes.
The SDLP will continue the campaign for access to a broader range of cancer drugs.
And I think people would be in agreement with that. It's one of the scourges in our society, and I think that it should be given that type of importance in terms of any public expenditure.
How would you fund that?
Well, I think you'd have to seek, I think, additional funding from the Department of Finance and Personnel in relation to that.
Well, of course you would, because that's where you get the money from. But how would you fund it?
Well,
where would you get the money from?
Well, what I'm saying is this, that you will have to explore through the health service and through the various other departments that there are, you would have to explore areas in which you could get that funding.
What you have just said there in that last sentence
well,
added up to diddly squat. You might as well have stayed silent.
It doesn't.
You might as well just have stayed silent.
Not at all.
You're a credible party. No. You want to, I'm sure most people will support you wanting to increase cancer drug availability in this country. When I say, how would you pay for it? You would explore your options.
Well, I mean, everybody has to explore their options. If you're going to increase expenditure in any area, you have to explore those options right throughout any department.
Well, for example, the DUP would reintroduce prescription charges. At least
there's talk. There's talk about that, yes, and we would agree that you have to explore that. Whether that would be sufficient in doing that, I just do not know. But let's explore those areas. But
explore it before the election. Tell people what you stand for before the election. Would you support the reintroduction of prescription charges?
We would, yes, in terms we would. In terms we would.
What do you mean in terms?
Well, we have to get it right in terms of the exemptions for those who are chronically ill. We have to get it right for those who are elderly. We have to get it right for those who are in a difficult situation.
We're going to have you for just a couple of minutes after the news.
Yes, okay, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Alban McGuinness is here from the SDLP. He's got his basket by his side. I think I'm being too nice today. Do you think I'm being too nice today, Alban?
You are the usual charming self, and I appreciate your charm.
And we're trying to establish what the SDLP stand for before you decide whether to vote for them or not. Look at this in your manifesto. We're having to go at fat people again. Today, more than 60% of adults and over a quarter of children are either overweight or obese. The public must be more aware of the impact their lifestyle has on their health. The SDLP will continue to encourage people to adopt healthier eating and drinking habits, exercise more, give up smoking. In this way, we can greatly improve longer-term health outcomes. So what would you do? Sugar tax? Fat tax?
Public health, very, very important. And it's very important for us to, as a society, to say to people, look, obesity is caused by overeating. It's caused by eating fatty foods. It's caused by indulging in sugary foods.
They know that.
All of them. No, they don't know that.
Oh, come on.
No, they don't, Stephen. They don't. And this is a problem. And it is
fat
a matter...
Fat people don't know they're fat because they eat bad food.
It's a matter of education. It's a matter of getting the lesson across. Smoking, for example. We've got the lesson across in smoking. Not completely, but we've worked very, very hard as a society.
And what government has done with smoking is it has taxed it beyond the affordability of a lot of people. And, of course, they're not allowed to even advertise it in shops now. What would you do, specifics, in order to encourage people not to eat that? Would you support a sugar tax, for example?
Well, it's something that might have to be considered, that we may have to tax fatty foods more than ordinary foods to encourage people to eat healthier foods.
So would you support a fat tax?
Well, it's something that certainly we would have to consider.
That means
but
nothing.
I don't think... Look, Stephen, at this moment in time, it's not a matter of bringing in the big stick. It's a matter of educating people. It's a matter of saying to people, look, you cannot go on like this. Otherwise, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill your families.
Exactly. So have a hard policy about something, Alban.
We have.
But no, you're not. You're considering everything.
Education.
I might consider having 20 children.
Well, Stephen...
I'm getting a bit late. 41.
A lot of catching up to do with me, anyway.
How many of you?
Eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Well, you've done more than consider it, haven't you? So a fat tax, would you support a fat tax in principle?
In principle, yes, we would support it.
What about an advertising ban on fast food chains on TV, for example? Well, is it that desperate? There's 60% of it?
Well, there is talk about banning advertisements.
I know there's talk about it. Would you support a ban on it?
Well, I personally would.
Would your party?
I think the party would certainly consider that seriously.
I can't speak about considering.
No, hold on, Stephen. Hold on, Stephen. You're asking me these questions.
Yes.
I can only speak about the official party policy, but I think we would favour something like that because it's important to tackle these very difficult issues of regarding people's health. If we have a society in which people are unhealthy as a result of overeating, then we have got to do something about it. And we've got to approach this seriously.
Alistair MacDonald, who's a bit of a potbelly himself the last time I saw him.
Alistair, trim man.
Have you feel confidence in him? Do you think he's a dynamic leader?
I think he's been a good leader for the SDLP.
Is he inspiring? Does he motivate?
He certainly does motivate the party internally. There's no doubt about that. And I think Alistair's done a very, very good job in terms of reforming the party.
What's dynamic
internally
about him?
Well, his energy. He's got tremendous energy.
Really? That comes across to the public,
tremendous.
It
may not come across to the public. You may have a different view of him. But certainly within the party, he has been very energetic, very enthusiastic. He has rebuilt the party.
What's he changed
internally? Well, in terms of the party structure, in terms of the party membership, in terms of the motivation of candidates, in terms of all of those things, he has done a very good job.
And he will lead the party into the assembly elections, will he?
He has put himself forward as the party leader at the last party conference. He will probably put himself forward at the next party conference. Remember this, Stephen. We in the SDLP elect our leader annually. Unlike other parties, we don't have a Politburo.
And you would support him leading your party into the assembly elections?
Unlike other parties, we do not have a Politburo that appoints a leader. We actually elect. It's up to the people within
him?
The party. I would support Alistair MacDonald.
He'd be your first choice, would he?
I didn't support him in the last leadership election.
Which is why I'm asking you now. Would you support him now?
Yes, I would support him, yes.
He'd be your first choice?
I would, yes.
If he wins his MP seat again, he'll have to choose by next year between the Assembly and the Commons. Which is he going to go for?
He has publicly stated that he will not stand for the Assembly if he's elected to the House of Commons, which I believe he will be.
Final question, with your basket under your arm.
Go ahead.
I was just waiting for you to take your drink of water.
Right, sorry.
I'm minded to say what makes you relevant in Northern Ireland.
Well, first of all, in this election, we're very relevant. Very, very relevant. Because the next British government could be 3 seats short or 4 seats short or short of an overall majority, which the SDLP could contribute to. That makes us very, very relevant in this election.
Thanks for coming in today. Thank you
very
much, Alban.
Stephen.
Good to see you. That's Alban McGuinness.